1 through 12. I beg your pardon, 1 through 16. Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, brothers and sisters, the Lord here in Mark 10 does speak of divorce. Unbiblical divorce is a sin for which Jesus died, if we come in faith. But divorce also speaks of covenantal unfaithfulness that we all have committed in our sin. For sin is faithlessness toward God, who is our covenant husband. So let us take this opportunity to go to the Lord, confessing our sin and seeking forgiveness in our Savior, our husband, Jesus Christ. So let us pray the prayer of confession from Psalm 25. Will you pray with me? "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them to know his covenant. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Our promise of comfort and forgiveness continues in Mark 10, verses 17 to 31. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to inherit the kingdom of God, to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, We have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. The congregation, please rise for the assurance of pardon. Brothers and sisters, our Lord commands us to seek life in His Word. Sadly, however, we repeatedly break His commandments. We all do. So, who among us can be saved? With man, salvation is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All can be saved by God. All those who've turned from seeking comfort in worldly things and seeking forgiveness in the false gods of this world, all who come by faith in Jesus Christ and seek repentance, receive eternal life from Him. The Lord has promised this, and He's blessed us with it right now. As we receive forgiveness this day, rejoice in the promises from our Lord, now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. Let us respond with joy, singing to the Lord our God. Thy nature, gracious Lord, impart. Come quickly from above, write thy new name upon my heart, thy new best name of love. This should be our desire, all of us, that the Lord would work in our hearts to make us more like Christ, that we would be sanctified after His image. So let us go to the Lord in prayer, by faith, asking for the Spirit's blessing upon the hearing of His Word and His continued work in our new hearts and our new minds. Will you pray with me? O Lord, who for our sake didst fast 40 days and 40 nights, give us grace to use such abstinence that our flesh, being subdued to the Spirit, we may ever obey thy godly motions in righteousness and true holiness to your honor and glory. Father, Lord, we come to you humbly with contrite hearts, seeking, Lord, your mercy, your love, your truth. And Lord, as we confess with our mouths, as we sing with joy, we pray that you would work in our hearts, that you would melt away the dross of our sin, that you would strengthen us, Lord, heart, mind, soul, and body, to love you and to love our neighbors. Lord, put that love in us, for you are the fountain of love, the source of all goodness. And Lord, move us by your Spirit to take hold of you by faith and to serve you every area of our lives in submission to your word for the sake of your kingdom. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our joyful hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you prepare your hearts and your minds, your souls to hear from God, let us stand together and sing to Him with joy. Our sermon text this morning continues in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 32 to 52. Mark 10:32-52. Brothers and sisters, the word of the living God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me! Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me! Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the day the Lord has made. And we as his people, we rejoice to come and to sit at his holy throne, that he, by his Spirit, might teach us how to love him. So come to your Father now in faith with a joyful heart, and desire the Spirit's blessed sanctification. We hear today from Mark's Gospel. St. Mark began in chapter 1, his Gospel account, by quoting one of Isaiah's prophecies. He wrote, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. That's right at the beginning of Mark's Gospel. This prophecy was referring to God the Father sending John the Baptist as a forerunner, the forerunner for Jesus Christ. John came to prepare for the coming of the King, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And when Jesus came, he would bring the way. John preached a baptism of repentance for the coming of the kingdom. And this baptism of repentance included the sinless Christ, who had no sins for which to repent. But Jesus submitted to a baptism of repentance. He said, "Permit it, John, at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." John came to prepare the way for the Lord, but Jesus Christ came in the way, teaching the way. One of his teachings, "Strive for the narrow gate, disciples, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life." Christ's teaching was all of Scripture, including kingly wisdom from Proverbs. "The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight. I walk in the way of righteousness. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless." You're catching the theme. The way. "This is the testimony of the Holy Spirit and is the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know and we confess, as we've done already this morning, with joy that the way to righteousness is to follow Jesus." The way to righteousness is to follow Christ, his teaching. And his teaching is bound up in who he was and who he is, in his very person. For not only did Jesus embody the teaching of the way, but Jesus Christ is the way. For he told his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to God the Father but through me." This is what he taught. This is how he lived. And for 3 intense years, every day following Jesus, the disciples heard and learned the way to live. The way of righteousness. The way of Christ. Now, through Mark, we've seen examples of the disciples hearing but not understanding. Instances where they might have received a partial revelation, a blurry image of what Christ was communicating. Comes to mind Peter confessing, "Jesus, you are the Christ." And then immediately after rebuking him for suggesting he had to go to the cross. And we have another example here in Mark 10. Where the disciples, James and John, have heard. He just told them the tough road down which Christ was headed. Jesus said, "The Son of Man will be betrayed. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. The Gentiles will mock him. The Gentiles will spit on him. They will flog him and they will kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again." Jesus told his disciples this. And after hearing it along the way, what were they arguing about? Jesus said, "I will suffer, I will die, they'll spit on me, mock me, crucify me." And what was John and James, what were they arguing about? "Let one of us sit on your right and the other on your left in your glory." This, brothers and sisters, is a partial blinding or a partial revealing, not a complete. They knew Jesus was God. The disciples knew he was the promised Messiah, the anointed king. But they still didn't fully grasp how all this was going to happen, how he was going to be glorified, even after he told them. But thanks be to God, James and John, their very question, revealed by the Spirit for our edification, their very question spoke directly to Christ's teaching about the way. Their question was helpful and is helpful for us, though they didn't know it at the time. The request to be at Christ's right and his left in glory. He said, Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking, James and John." And he follows up by asking their willingness. But he used odd language, didn't he? He didn't say, are you ready to suffer for me? Are you ready to die for me? Are you really, really ready for it? He said, are you willing to drink the cup? Are you willing to be baptized? Jesus, while using sacramental language, he's not speaking explicitly about the sacraments. He's not asking, hey, James and John, should we have the Lord's Supper right now? Are you itching to get baptized? He asked if. He's using that language, if they're ready to suffer. Are they willing to die? James and John, are you willing to drink the cup of God the Father's wrath? James and John, are you willing to be buried in the baptism on the cross like I will be? See, brothers and sisters, both of the sacraments of the church point to the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. A body was given for us on the cross. That's the bread. A cup of wrath Jesus drank for us. That's the cup which we drink. A baptism of death and burial. That's how we're brought into God's covenant. James and John, no doubt, revered Jesus as a teacher and a leader. They wanted to obey him. They wanted to serve him. They were already following him. And in their lives, in their actions, you, Jesus, are to be a glorious king. Can we sit next to you in your glory? James and John wanted to follow the person Jesus Christ. They wanted to obey him. But could they follow his way? He told them, I'm going to suffer and die. At my right, and at my left is not for me to give. He was right. When Jesus Christ was glorified on the cross, the one on his left and the one on his right were not James and John. The Father had someone else in mind for those positions. But James and John would have to continue following Jesus' way, the way he was leading, and the way he was preparing for them. Let's stop there and the kids come forward for the children's message, please. Good job. The Lord be with you. Who can raise their hand and tell me if you've ever heard the word example? Example. If you've heard of it, you don't necessarily have to know what it means. Example. Okay, hands down. Who can raise their hand and tell me, what does example mean? Lee? Something you like? Okay, that's a good guess. Hessel? What does example mean? Okay, telling, showing. Okay, you want to add on to that? To be a leader? You want to add to that, Sophia? Something different, okay? I think we can kind of piece together a definition there. It's something to show and to tell us on how to do something. Okay, can I see your eyes up here? So for example, if I were to be an example for you on how to pray, okay, this is how we pray. We fold our hands and we close our eyes. Okay, can you do that please right now? Fold your hands, close your eyes. Okay, this is how we pray. Okay, all right, now open your eyes. By showing you, I folded my hands, and by showing you, I closed my eyes, I gave you an example. Okay? Right now, I'm looking around the group, and I see some of the older kids giving a good example to the little kids. And little kids, you can look at the big kids and see how are they sitting. Okay? Their hands are in their laps. Some of them have legs crossed. Their eyes are on me. They're paying attention. The older kids are giving a good example. And when you come to church for worship, you look at your moms and dads, and you look at the grown-ups around you, and they give you an example on how to worship. So when moms and dads, when we sing, they pick up a hymnal or a black folder, and they sing loudly, and they sing joyfully. They're giving you an example. And during the sermon, when I'm preaching, and they're looking at me listening, what are they giving for you? an example. So you can watch your moms and dads and watch the adults in the congregation, and they will give you an example on what we do in worship. Now, can I see your eyes? Jesus was giving his disciples an example, and he was giving us an example. This is how we live. This is how we love one another. This is how we worship God. This is how we pray. This is how we love God. Who can raise their hand and tell me who is the perfect example for how to live?
God
the Son, whose name is Jesus. Very good. So when we read the Bible, when we read Mark and Matthew and Luke and John, we see Jesus and we see how he lived, and he is our example. He's not just our example, he's our Savior and Lord. Okay, and then you read the rest of the Bible, and God gives us more examples on how to love him. So when you read your Bible, you're getting an example on how to live. A whole lot more, but you are getting an example. Okay? So let's pray. Fold your hands, close your eyes, and please repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us and sending us your Son Jesus. Please forgive us for our sins. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to obey your word and to follow Jesus' example. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, good job, kiddos. You can head back. Good job. Our Savior, our Lord, our example, Jesus, taught and prepared his disciples in the way. And as mentioned, he embodied that way. The way he was going to glorification was through pain and through suffering. Selfless humiliation in order to honor the Father. The God-man, Jesus Christ, is, as the kids confessed, faith like a child, they confessed that Jesus Christ is the only perfect human being who ever lived. He perfectly submitted to and perfectly glorified the Father. He perfectly lived out God's will. And he perfectly taught and prepared his disciples. He was always teaching. He was always demonstrating how his disciples were to follow him on his way. Now Jesus, as we hear from the text, the scriptures, he did say some hard things to the disciples. He challenged their faith. In our humanistic culture today, where disagreeing with someone is a sin, we would be tempted to crucify Jesus ourselves for his hard sayings. But our standard is not the peace and comfort of the community. Our standard is God's will for us, which Jesus embodied. What does Jesus command? How does he want us to speak and act toward one another? For his way is righteous. This is the way of Christ. Now, one very important aspect of their preparation was the preparation for suffering. Jesus called his disciples to deny themselves, to pick up their cross and follow him on the way. And here in Mark 10, the Holy Spirit provided two real-life examples for Christ's disciples on following him to suffering. Two examples of following him to suffering. The first was the rich young man. Now, when we hear the rich young man, this is not a wicked man. He was not an example of works righteousness or merit salvation. The rich young man provided a lot of good in his example. First, what did he do? He came to Jesus. That's a good start. He came to Christ. And he asked him, "What do I do to inherit eternal life?" He was concerned about eternal life. That is a good concern. Do not be so consumed with this earthly life. See everything you do with eternal implications. That is good. Jesus exhorted him to keep the commandments, which the man testified that he had done throughout his life. We ought not see this man as arrogant in his responses. We ought not see him placing his trust in his own works. He came to Jesus. If he trusted in his own works, he wouldn't have come to Christ. He didn't trust in himself. He asked Jesus about eternity. And the Spirit tells us that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus loved that man. That's grace. That's divine favor. For the Lord to look upon someone and love him. Brothers and sisters, the Lord looks down on you right now and loves you. Is that a cause for joy for you? Or is that a cause for bitterness for you? God is looking down on you right now and saying, I love you. I love you, saints of Hamlin Reformed Church. Jesus looked at this man in love. But he identified one obstacle, one idol for this man. Greed. The man concerned about heavenly, spiritual, eternal things couldn't let go of an earthly thing. He couldn't let go. Couldn't let go of his possessions. He wasn't willing to sacrifice them for eternal life. Think about that. He wouldn't let go of all his riches, all his earthly possessions, and eternal life was right there for him. And he wouldn't let them go. That is a definition of an idol. He placed too much comfort, too much enjoyment, too much trust in an earthly thing that he was willing to sacrifice the eternal. Now keep that in the back of your mind because we come next to blind Bartimaeus. And the example of blind Bartimaeus was to teach the disciples and to teach you about the way. Like the young rich man, Bartimaeus went to Jesus. He called out to Jesus. He wanted grace from Jesus. And like the young rich man, Jesus extended grace. He spoke to the rich young man, that was grace. He taught him, that was grace. And to blind Bartimaeus, he extended grace by healing him. The difference in the two is blind Bartimaeus was a poor beggar on the side of the road. And when Jesus extended grace to him, Bartimaeus stood up and responded in faith. Now, as we hear the story, if we're not careful, we're going to miss the connection to the rich young man. Verse 50. Bartimaeus, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Immediately, he followed Jesus along the road, along the way. We have seen Christ, we've seen the example of the way of suffering and walking faithfully toward death. We know that he'd be persecuted for the faith. We know he'd be killed for who he was. And like him, Jesus taught his disciples that they too needed to die. They needed to suffer for the way. When persecution and trials came, were the disciples ready to drop everything and follow Jesus? Were they ready to leave everything behind and follow Jesus? The rich young man wasn't, was he? He clung to his possessions. He clung to his riches. He wasn't ready to let them go. Bartimaeus, was he? He cast his cloak aside and followed Jesus. Did Bartimaeus have a lot of rich possessions? No. What did he have? All he had was a cloak. And he left it. He left it all to follow Jesus. That's the point. He left it all. The rich young man, though he kept the commandments, wouldn't leave it all. Did the disciples leave it all to follow Jesus? Yes. And what was staring them in the face moving forward? Suffering, persecution, death for following Jesus. When that came, when that was staring them in the eye, would they cling to the earthly? Would they hold on to the rich young ruler even though they loved Jesus and they kept the commandments? Or were they like Bartimaeus, the poor beggar who left it all to follow Jesus? That was the preparation. They had to walk the way. Suffering was coming. Leave it all Go right into it, disciples. Don't value anything more than you value me, Jesus taught them. Persecution and suffering will look different for us, though. We likely won't face first century persecution like the early Christians. But the same challenge is for us, brothers and sisters. Is there anything standing in your way from full commitment to Christ? Do you value anything in this life more than you value Jesus? Not just in confession. I think the rich man would have said the same thing. I love Jesus, I love God more than anything. But in practical live, how you live your life, do you value anything more than you value Christ? The rich young man obeyed God's commands. He sought out Jesus. He was probably a lifelong churchgoer, but he still had an idol. And God spoke directly to that idol. The point is, money's not bad. It's not sinful to have money. That wasn't the point. The point was, the valued in a Job sense, they valued, you've been blessed, therefore God loves you. If you're poor, God doesn't love you. It's almost like Hinduism. Okay, if you have a lot of money, you've done a lot of good things, God's blessing you. If you don't have money, you clearly did something wrong. That's what Christ was speaking to. And this man put his trust in that. See how well I've done with these possessions. I won't let go of them. Blind Bartimaeus didn't have much, just a cloak, but he was still willing to leave it all for Christ. We will be tested in these days in our lives. Jesus promised it. We are being challenged for the faith. We will be challenged for our complete commitment to Christ. All those hard sayings, you really believe that, Christians? You believe all the hard stuff? And Jesus did love the rich man, and he does love you. But will you leave your idols? Will you throw them aside? Will you break them for the sake of Christ? Don't look at earthly possessions as being too great to give up. Brothers and sisters, I exhort you today, jump to your feet. Follow the Lord with childlike faith. Think about that. Receive the kingdom with childlike faith. Cast aside your idols, and for the joy that's set before you, Jesus Christ, give your entire being to committing to following the way of righteousness and the way of Christ, for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Lord, Father in heaven, we thank you for the comfort of your word. We thank you for your Spirit speaking into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls this day. We praise you and thank you for declaring your power, your authority in it. We thank you for speaking to us.